Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, some days I'm more excited than others to get down here and get started. I'm pretty excited today. Excited for a lot of different reasons, and I'm going to try to lay some of those out to you here. Appreciate you joining us, always do. 27th day of October, I don't where does time go? It's amazing. And sometimes you're sitting I was just talking to the guys here before we went on the air. Sometimes you're so close to a situation. Sometimes you're so near to a situation, you don't understand when history is being made. It goes right by us. We don't understand the significance of a moment. Sometimes it's a Supreme Court decision. Sometimes it's an election. It's a lot of things. But I posted a little meme yesterday on Facebook, and I just want to bring that up again here this morning. For those of you out there who, for various reasons, fought against Donald Trump, or still today maybe are never Trumpers, or still don't get what's going on, that he's not a righteous enough man, and everything that goes on like that. I want you to, excuse me, I listen. Lord says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is destruction, death and destruction. And even though a lot of you out there still today are voting against Donald Trump with holding your nose and doing it, folks, I'm just telling you, if you cannot see what Almighty God has done through that man, what he has done through the man. If you cannot appreciate the vessel that Donald Trump has been for the hand of God, I don't even know what to tell you. Because as we sit here today, can anybody imagine what if Jeb Bush had been president? Jeb Bush, the ultimate swamp creature. What if he'd won? What if Ted Cruz? Who was the other competitor? I mean, Trump came in and cleaned them all out. He rolled them like a steamroller, rolled them all out. And then he comes in there, he's president of the United States, and Hillary isn't. And with the appointment yesterday of Amy Barrett to the Supreme Court, by the way, what a picture that was at the end. They talk about the Republican Party not being a party of diversity. There was a black man swearing in a white woman on the Supreme Court, both Republican appointees, right? It's all lies. But had those of you out there wanted to hold your nose or said, I'm sorry, I can't vote for that man. See, you can't vote for that man because you have too much spiritual religious pride, thinking you are holier and more righteous than somebody else. See, you won't vote for Trump because your conscience just won't let you. So therefore, you are more righteous than Randy because Randy's going to vote for him. But see, Randy, some of you would say, well, Randy's not a very good Christian. If he would vote for that man, that's not. See, you guys don't even understand. You don't even understand. A righteous man. Sorry. A righteous man could not have accomplished what the President of the United States has accomplished. God has used this man in the condition that he is, with all his bravado and all his bombast and all that stuff. If Hillary Clinton had won, the Supreme Court would be right now today, six left lefties, two Thomas and Alito conservatives, and John Roberts blown whichever way the wind blows. The court would be set for the next 30 years to the left, never to be recovered in your lifetime or probably in your grandkid's lifetime. Three justices Hillary Clinton would have appointed. We still don't know what Kavanaugh's like. We don't understand what Gorsuch is like. We don't know what Barrett's like, but we know what Hillary's would have been. We know what Hillary's been. And folks, we are right now still elbow deep into this battle for the culture. And I thank God that God sent us an imperfect man. Thank God he sent us an imperfect man. He didn't send his, This isn't Donald Trump is not an image of Jesus Christ. He's not a savior. He's an unrighteous man who is on his way, I believe. I don't know this. I believe Donald Trump's closer to, if he's not received Christ, I believe he's closer to Christ than he's ever been. And I believe he's like King Herod. People like to say, well, whatever. King Herod didn't mind the Jews being in power as long as they didn't cross him, right? God sent Donald Trump. Who knows why, man? Is that the guy that you'd have picked? I thank God today. Hey, listen, I got a lot of stuff to throw out on the table today. It's good stuff. It's heavy stuff. It's thick stuff. And I don't want you to forget this afternoon at 2:15, Michael Voris is going to join us. And Mike, I want you to get ready to play that video of Michael Voris. Mike, I watched it this morning. Actually, Mike, you sent me a copy of it. I was actually watching it as you sent me the copy of it. And I believe we can play this at 1.75 speed. Now, Michael Voris, sparks are going to fly because he's going to join us later on today for a special Coach Dave Live. It's going to be 45 minutes. Those of you who can join it, it's okay. If not, we're going to archive it. You'll be able to watch it. But Michael Voris yesterday did high risk, high reward. And I'm telling you, he clearly laid it out. And Mike, I think you can advance it a minute before you start it because he always like a little commercial at the beginning of it. And we're going to play this at 1.75 speed, so it's going to happen fast. But you tell me he doesn't have this pegged. Go ahead and play it, Mike. And again, he'll be with us today at 2:15. There you go.
.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. It's the final countdown, and what's coming into focus now is President Trump's strategy. It's not exactly a Hail Mary, but it's a high-risk, high-reward gamble. Consider, for the past 4 years, Trump has had every imaginable thing thrown at him from the Marxist-minded establishment. His opponents in the swamp, which also includes not a small number of Republicans, has essentially been running an ongoing coup. To break it down even further, the powerful political forces within Washington, D.C., led by the child-killing Democrats, concocted a story that Trump was anti-American and colluding with the Russians. Then they disseminated their story quietly among various operatives in the intel community. Those anti-Americans who had been placed there during Obama and Biden's 8 years then started leaking the information to their media allies, who kept the false information going as headline stories every day for over 1,000 days. They pressed earlier on that a special counsel was needed to investigate Trump, and voila, the whole Robert Mueller saga was born. Almost 3 years later, a big nothing burger. It was an investigation built on lies, and then even more lies, and promulgated through nonstop through the media, which used it constantly to blast Trump and call into question in the minds of many that he was unfit for office. Anything Trump responded to by way of social media was immediately deemed rude, demeaning, unpresidential, divisive, and so forth. When Russia eventually blew up in the Marxists' faces, then they shifted to the Ukraine phone calls and excuse to impeach the president. That too failed, but this constant hammering took a toll. Then came the Wuhan virus, and if they didn't actually conspire with their communist counterparts in Beijing to bring it about, they certainly did seize on the opportunity to at least use it as another club against Trump. It took a few weeks back in those early days for the Marxist media to find its footing, its path, to pin all this on Trump, but just like in the aftermath of the 2016, they did indeed get back on point. Suddenly, it was all Trump's fault. The call went out. No matter what Trump did, it was wrong. Either too much of this, not enough of that. The narrative has been so finely tuned at this point that there's no turning back from it. Hundreds of thousands of people are dead, and their blood is on his hands. Never mind the tens of thousands of those deaths coming from nursing home victims shoved in there by Democratic governors in New York, New Jersey, and Michigan. It's all Trump's fault. Like everything bad is his fault. Just keep repeating that over and over and over. He's a liar. He's unfit. He's mean on Twitter.
An unrepentant criminal sociopath who's overseen the preventable deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans.
The media strategy, in conjunction with their political allies, was to so beat up Trump that by the time the election drew near, he'd be seen as damaged goods. That part worked, at least some. The highly emasculated culture, launched on its way to arrive at this very point by the lesbians of the women's rights movement of the 1960s, just doesn't like men who talk like men. And they actually despise men who act like men, which is to say, get combative. The soy boy feelings culture that is now dominant doesn't care about truth or reality. All it cares about is feelings and not being nice. You see that in the Catholic Church nonstop. Trump's style, which is little else than directly saying the truth in very clear terms, coupled with the media outrage at him saying the truth, created a to-be-expected polarization. What it showed was an already existing divide in the country that Trump simply highlighted. That divide was between actual Americans who have been asleep at the switch for decades while the country is being taken over by radical socialists, which is to say communists, and on the other side, the actual communist clique of anti-Americans posing as lovers of America, but in truth, in league with George Soros's of the world who want America swept off the planet. Obama was their poster boy, the hope and change, the transformation man who would pave the way for the final takeover, which Hillary was supposed to complete. But along came Trump, who upset that apple cart, who kicked the wheels off their little red wagon, emphasis on red. He won by making appeal to ordinary Americans, those who just live their lives quietly, doing their thing, and not plugged into the bloodlust game of seizing power. But still, somewhere in their American bones, they felt something was just not quite right. So, they came out for him, and the pollsters predicting a Hillary win were wrong. But during the 4 years of his first term, Trump could not have imagined the fierce resistance he would get from the Marxists. In the immediate aftermath, the Marxist media were dumbfounded. They could not grasp what had happened. Even the New York Times wondered aloud what it and other media had missed. In a searing, soul-searching article, the Times executive director, Dean Baquet, said that they had missed the election voter out there, the hidden voter out there in flyover country, and it was their fault. The elites, he concluded, hadn't understood the common man. That's coming from the New York Times. That self-assessment fits nicely under the even a broken clock is right twice a day category. He committed to going out into the American frontier and connecting with these Americans, yada, yada. After a few weeks, that was completely abandoned in favor of the strategy to just blast Trump and initiate a persistent coup in the hopes of destroying him for any possible second term. Once they got up off the mat, they came at him with all they have, and they still are. They did a lot of damage. They beat him up pretty badly. Gone almost instantly in the face of the media-created pandemic panic was the most successful economy in the history of the world, a restoration of American greatness across the globe, the lack of any military involvement in foreign wars, all of it gone poof. And why? Because regular everyday people not involved in the daily fight against cultural evil fail to understand the power of the media, especially the electronic media. How ludicrous is it that a virus which hospitalizes a tiny, tiny fraction of the U.S. population and that kills only those with already serious and numerous underlying illnesses can suddenly become the top-of-mind concern for the entire nation? A recent Fox News survey said voters are equally split on what their top concern is, COVID and the economy, each registering in at 44%. Think about that for a minute. There is not a single person, man, woman, or child in America directly unaffected by the economy, jobs, inflation, taxes, prices of goods, and so forth. And yet a virus with a near zilch mortality rate is suddenly tied for first place as the top concern. That is the power of the media, still and always will be. And the reason why is because ordinary people are easily manipulated by crafty evil men in power, and it's their own fault. They cruise through life unwilling to become involved, reading an occasional headline jammed into their faces by evil men who control the headlines, and they slowly come to believe what they're told. Trump's game plan now is to create a new kind of wokeness, what he keeps terming the silent majority. It worked in 2016 as a large group of mostly Midwesterners heard Trump's call to save the country from the rot of communism, and they responded. They had been missed by the pollsters in the run-up to the election, and they propelled Trump to victory by the narrowest of margins in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Now, 4 years later, Trump is going back to the well once more in the hope that it hasn't run dry. There does seem to be some hope, at least, that he might be able to pull it off one more time. The public rallies, those flotillas, those car parades, all of that stuff, they're larger and attended by the same types of folks who secured his victory in 16. And we don't mean at these rallies solid Republicans. We mean people who have never voted Republican before, or people who haven't voted in many cycles. They're the disaffected voter, or blacks, or Hispanics, or women, or former Democrats. These demographics make up about half of all the attendees at Trump's rallies. And precisely because they have not voted in many cycles, they don't get counted in the polls that we hear from the mainstream Marxist media. The questions, which no one right now knows the answers to except God, are how many of them are there? Are there enough to overcome those who have been bamboozled by the media saying Trump's mean? And will they show up in sufficient numbers next week? It's not exactly a Hail Mary by Trump, but it is a high-risk, high-reward gamble. He is simply doing an end run around the conventional political thinking. That's how he got to be president. He's not even trying to convince those who believe the media narrative about him. He's trying to create an entirely new voter base, yet untapped, and one that could only be tapped into by a man like him. That's the gamble. If he's wrong, then the last great hope is over and the country sinks into socialism. But if he's right, the Marxists and their media comrades' heads will explode next Tuesday night, and a new force will emerge to scourge the left and begin a long-desired pushback against this evil. This is why we are all praying in earnest. It is the Lord of history, using Trump one way or the other, who will have the last word. God bless.
Amen.
I'm Michael Voris.
Amen. I'm sorry we played that at such a fast speed, folks. You may want to go back and look at that later. There's an entire complete political shift going on in America. Republican, Democrat, that's about to go away. Okay. I got some stuff I want to show you here today that I think is really, really important. We're going to have to decide. We're us. Jeff Nell, Tim Havens, Randy Lunsford, Larry Richardson, Mike Heath. I go down the line. We are going to have to decide what kind of America we want to leave to our children. Let me tell you something, folks. Ultimately, see, we got to take our government back, friends. We have to take our government back. And the desire for the devil to take us to globalism, we have to understand that the Lord is trying to take us back to localism. The government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's what is at stake right here. And if you're missing that, you don't understand. If you've fallen into the trap of the media, you've fallen into the trap of Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. If you've fallen into that trap, for Lord's sake, please come back up. Please come back out and understand this, folks. That the Adam Schiffs and the MSNBC, they are the lawbreakers. It's not us. They're the lawbreakers, folks. The Barack Obamas of the world, they're the lawbreakers. Do you understand that? Do you really understand that? The Peter Strokes, they're the lawbreakers. The Nancy Pelosi's, they're the lawbreakers, folks. It's not us. No, it's not us. The IRS, they're the lawbreakers. It's not us. We've got this whole thing backwards. See, they make law. I put a meme up today. I don't know if you've noticed this. The left always acts the same way. When they lose, they say they were cheated, and they immediately try to change the rules. Have you noticed that? Every time they lose, their answer is, we were screwed, change the rules. Let's change the rules. So now they've lost the Supreme Court. What do they want to do? Well, they want to pack it. They want to put, see, we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. So we got to put the law back into the hand. No matter who wins, if we do not put the law back into the hands of the people, we are done.
Yeah. You know, and that entails we, the people, have to take the reins into our hands and start doing the work of what needs to be done instead of waiting for people we elect to do the work. That's not going to happen. We've got to do the work.
We have to, Larry. And it's been done before. I'm going to show you some stuff here this morning. It's been done before, and it's dirty work. And if you think the left is crazy now, you wait till they lose. Then they're going to want to try to change the rule. That's what they're, folks, they're changing the rules right now, right? Freedom of speech, they're changing the rules. They just, every time they lose, they change the rules. That's how they operate, right? We're based on truth. They're based on lies. And it's a matter of who's going to win this power. Listen, I don't want to talk about politics today, but you cannot separate the two, okay? Can't separate the two. Okay. Anybody want to add? Right. I think I got something to dive into here. Go ahead. Yes.
They changed the rules on free enterprise. They changed the rules on laissez-faire. They changed the words, the meaning of the words, and now we don't even know what we're doing.
We don't, Jack. We don't. See, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. So now good is a woman having a right to kill her baby. Folks, that ain't good. That's evil, right? So they've changed everything on us. And what the point that Michael Voris was making there is mom and pop America, the ones who build America, they're looking around and they're saying, who took over my country? Who took over my country? What happened here? And through the lies and the manipulation, they're trying to convince you that there are more of the left than there are. And it's just not true, friends. It just is not true. Donald Trump is going to win by the largest margin in the history of America, even though the votes may not show that. Are you with me? You understand that?
Absolutely.
This ain't even a contest. Biden gets six people to come out. Maybe six, maybe seven, maybe 10. They have a car parade. They get five cars. They want you to not believe your eyes. Not believe your eyes, what you see. But listen, the work, no matter who wins, is just getting started, okay? Somebody else tried to get in, I walked on you. Listen, I'm feeling this today. Bear with me. I'm feeling this. Go ahead, Joe. Two Joes. Joe Allen, then Silver. Go, Joe.
Okay. Didn't our founding fathers warn us about lawyers going into D.C.?
They did. In fact, you can look in the in the Constitution, I'm not prepared for it, Joseph, but I believe in the Constitution, lawyers were not allowed to serve in office, I believe. Sounds crazy.
The original 13th Amendment. Just go to the original 13th Amendment. I have a copy.
Okay. They weren't allowed to. But they're there, and that's what screwed us up. Go ahead, Joe Silver.
Okay. I was going to say, and we've been talking about abortion and all of these types of things. We've been talking about lies this morning. Okay. God's law. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Amen.
Thou shalt not murder. If we don't base our government on God's law, we're done.
Well, Joe, you know what? Amen to that. But Joe, you know what they say? They call us the radicals because we want to follow those two rules, right? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. We just want those three things. How about if we just start with those three? We can't even win that, right?
How about we just start with the first one?
Amen. Well, you get my point. Though,
right? Then we go from there.
That's right. And it's gotten away from us because, well, a lot of reasons. Yeah, Alan?
I tell you what, Coach, I really believe Satan has overplayed his hand, especially I think we're the big bright light shining on people across the board, not just Christians, but just regular folk. They want to have a good law and order, good police department, brother. I'm telling you that right now. And I think that's going to be the linchpin that's going to break right there. People want law and order. The majority of people, whether they believe in Christ or not, they do want safety, law and order, man.
Yeah, but Alan, we have to be careful of that because the cry for law and order sometimes brings in another form of tyranny. So we got to be really, really careful, right? I'm with you, man. I'm with you. But we got to be – see, they've made hey, Alan, I'm the enemy. They send the FBI to me. They send the Secret Service to me. They don't send them after stroke and after – they don't send them after them. So we have to be careful, law and order in whose hands. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, amen, Coach, and I'm right there with you. But the thing is they've overplayed their hand in regular cities. And you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I understand federally they're sending these people to you because they're still the puppet masters. But with Trump what he's doing, changing all these judges, doing all these things he's doing, he's cutting their legs off up at the top, man.
Yeah,
it's
but,
just going to take a while to trickle down, though, Coach.
Well, here's a trickle down that it's going to take a while that we have to do. Sorry, I got my cords wrapped up over here. Are we going to step up? Are we going to step up? If we don't step up, I don't. Hey, Trump. Let's say Trump wins. He's in there for four more years. Are we going to use this 4 years to reclaim our government, or are we just going to get back four more years of getting back to normal? And the next thing we know, we're 4 years from now. Now who's in charge? That's okay. Listen, I got some good stuff I got to lay out there today. Okay.
Well, Dave, want to ask you?
Go ahead, Chad. Hey, Mike. First of all, bring up. Gideon's Army. Go ahead, Chad.
All right. Well, when we talk about this normal, okay, what was so good about the normal that we had?
Yeah.
See, look, we have a great time to affect positive change in this entire country, if not the world.
We need who to does that. Who
not
who
going
does
back just normal.
Who does, Chad?
Well, okay, we do.
We do. Who we do. Me? You, Silver, Larry, yeah, Randy, look, Jeff Klein, who?
No one else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. And, you know, look, if we say, okay, well, Trump, he's doing this, he's doing that, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, he needs help. He needs help. And we've got to be able to do that locally. Okay. Moving the needle where you are locally. That's
okay, folks. That's why, folks, listen. This is Lord be with me here. I'm going to announce tomorrow. Maybe even this afternoon, our plan on what we're going to do this weekend. I've been working hard. Mike and Polly been helping me with some of the arrangements, different things going on about what we are getting ready to do when we go to where we go. And hey, Randy, I'm so sick of the naysayers. I'm so sick of those who won't do a damn thing except criticize. I've got to tell you, I am so sick of it. I don't need anybody else to tell me that I'm going to get in trouble. I don't need anybody else to tell me I'm going to get arrested. I don't need anybody else to tell me I'm going to get COVID. I don't need anybody else to tell me that I'm not being Christ-like. I don't need anybody else to tell me any of that stuff because they're nothing but the peanut gallery. Okay. That is all they are. They're nothing but the peanut gallery. And I'm going to try to live out the modern day book of Acts. I'm going to go do something. And I'm looking for others who have that same spirit. Go ahead, Randy. I feel you.
Coach, I will say this as a warning to the naysayers. I'm not trying to pick on them, but I'm going to say this as a warning. Coach, when God sent the 12 spies into the land, two came back out of the 12, two, Joshua and Caleb, that said, we can take it. And the other 10 said, well, we can't do it. Those giants are too big. Those 10 died, Coach. They died in a plague.
They did.
They died. God got them out of the way, and he carried on his purpose. I'm telling you, people, get in God's plan, see this, or get out of the way, or shut your mouth, because it won't be good. I'm not saying God's the gloom and doomer, but if he got things, you bring things upon yourself when you speak against the will of God, Coach.
So, Randy, how about this? There's not a person watching right now. I could be wrong. Be careful what I say. Is going to be here 50 years from now. There may not be anybody watching who's going to be here 30 years from now, right? Throughout all of time and eternity, we have a very short period. We could die tomorrow, man. We could all die tomorrow, right? And so what are we trying to do? We're trying to do everything we can to maintain under this vapor that we can't hang on to anyway. We can't. Where's George Washington? He'd be dead. Huh? He's dead. Where's General Patton? He'd be dead. He'd be dead. Where's John F. Kennedy? He'd be dead, right? People die. People live and people die. And what matters is what happens between that dash, right? What do you do with your time? And if you think you're going to lengthen your life anymore, just because you're going to play it safe, well, God bless you. I hope you do. And by you playing it safe, is it going to be better for your children and your grandchildren? Are we going to wake up 4 years from now in the same mess with the left doing the same thing and us hoping we have another candidate that's going to stand up? Turner Bush. Go ahead, Larry.
Yes, you know, you say it. The left is going to harass you all day long, you bitch, you cock fuck.
Yeah, that's it. That's how they win. That's it. Hey, see, that's it. That's all they have right there, right? Call them names. Talk about penises. That's all the weapon they have. Go, Larry.
Randy, it wasn't just Joshua and Caleb out of the 12 spies. That Joshua and Caleb were the only ones out of the 12 spies that got into the land. Joshua and Caleb were the ones, only ones out of the entire population over the age limit God set that got into the land.
And by the way, whose names do you remember? Joshua and Caleb's or those other guys that said no? No. So I'm a judge of seven because, listen, I'm...
Including folks, Moses.
Including...
Hey, that's Coach, right. You probably found the guy who stole your ladder. He was just on the show.
Yeah, probably did.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject, but it kind of ties in with the lies and the tyranny.
Don't change the subject.
It's not. The lies and the tyranny. I got a guy I've met twice in the last 30 days. He just run me down again yesterday. And after that whole weekend of that, the preaching we had going on out there about the Holy Spirit and things like that, this guy come to me, and I want everybody to pray for Matt, his wife, and these three kids. They're wanting to take their children away from them. CPS here in Knox County, he's fighting the battle. He can't get any attorneys to help him. So I went, after beating this guy twice, went last night and met. Took him home. I said, can I come in and meet your wife and your kids? Oh, yeah. So we go in. Precious, precious little kids. Love their mommy and daddy. They love these kids. Joy, Hope, and David Emmanuel. David Emmanuel, they're saying, is underweight. They want to strip him out of the home. These people come here from New York. They don't know anybody in Mount Vernon. The attorneys won't help them. Nobody. So guess who got on the phone with him? Tom Condit. We're sitting in their living room last night. Tom is traveling up here Wednesday night to meet this couple. Wow. And we're going to sit down and put a game plan together to help these people. They're Christians. They're homeschooling kids. They believe in the Holy Spirit. And they're just, this guy's livid. They want to take his kids. It's all stupidity. So just pray for Matt, his wife, and the three children, please.
Amen. Amen. Good work, Jeff. Listen, folks. Gideon, I got it up there. Because here's my attitude. Some of you, we're going to be Gideon's army this weekend. And some of you have been convinced by who knows who not to go. You had all kinds of, I got all kinds of reasons not to go. I sometimes have my own family say, Dad, why are you going to do that? You're just going to bring more problems into our home. Yeah, that's true. I probably am. But I love the Lord, and my fealty's first to the Lord. And I don't want to bring problems into my home, but I got to fight a fight now so my grandkids have a better opportunity 10, 20 years from now. Wake the hell up!
Dave.
Amen.
Okay, everybody, be quiet. Everybody be quiet. I'm going somewhere. Then Jerubbaal, we got to read Judges. I'm in Judges 7. You got to read Judges 6 to find out what's all going on, how the Midianites are kicking butt and everything like that. And all of a sudden, Gideon shows up on the scene, and you know, Gideon doesn't want to go to the war. Gideon doesn't want to go to the Lord tells Gideon to go to battle, and Gideon says, "Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure?" And he goes out and he lays out a fleece. You know the story, right? And the Lord makes that thing wet twice. So he told Gideon, then Gideon laid out a fleece, and the Lord made it wet. And Gideon said, oh, no, the Lord didn't let it get wet. And Gideon said, I might have misread you here, Lord. Can we do this again? Can you confirm it three times, Lord? So he lays it out, and this time the fleece is soaking wet. And Gideon said, oh, well, I guess I got to go. I can't make any more excuses. I got to go. So he decides to go, and then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, they rose up early. They got in their cars, and they drove from Ohio, and they drove from Oklahoma, and they drove from South Carolina and North Carolina, and they came down from Maine, and they came across, and they pitched their well and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And then the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you, coach, and just too many of them. You're trying to get too many people in here, coach. I'm not going to give them over into the Midians, into their hands, because if I do that, then they're going to take credit for it. They're going to say, see what we did, huh? He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever's fearful and afraid, get the hell out of here. That's what he did, right? You go out there and you tell them to get out of here, return back to their house and sit in there and watch football all day. And they returned 22,000 of the 30,000 over there. 10,000 remained. The Lord said to Gideon, the people, you got still too many. Take them down to the water and I'll try them for right there, I'm going to test them for you, Gideon. And it shall be of whom I shall say unto you, take this guy and take this guy and take this guy and take this guy. This shall go with thee. They shall go down with thee. And whomever I say, you take them. So he brought the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, hey, Gideon, you watch now. Everyone that laps the water with like a dog, he shall set himself, him shall thou set by himself. And likewise, get in everyone that gets down on his knees and bows his head and drinks the water. You don't want those guys. He says, you want those guys getting that are cupping the water and lapping as they're watching the enemy. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men, that lapped, will I save you? I skipped a verse, I'm sorry. The number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300. The rest of them, they had a lot of reasons why they couldn't do it. He said, I'm going to take those that are lapping by hands, and I'm going to deliver the Midianites into your hand, the enemy, call them whoever you want, into your hand, Gideon. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. He's let them go back home and play pool and let them go do what they want to do. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I'm going to save you. Hey, listen, do you believe the Lord or not? What kind of faith do you have? You have negative faith? You always believe something bad's going to happen and woe is me and we'll never get this done and Hillary, she'll call the FBI. Is that way you're going to live your life like that? Is that how you're going to live your life? So the people took the victuals in their hands and their trumpets and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent and retained those 300 men and the host of Midian beneath them in the valley. Came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, get up, buddy. Get in those cars. And go down there and raise some Cain, because I have, past tense, I have delivered it. Randy, I've already delivered it. You just got to go down there, boys, and clean it up. I've already delivered it into your hand. But if you fear to go down, go you with Purah, the servant, down to the host. And you shall hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down to the host. He says, when you go down there, you're afraid to go. He says, I want you to sneak around. I want you to listen to how afraid the enemy is as well. We know what happened, right? Gideon and his men went down there and they did two things. They made noise. They shined light. They took those pots with them. They went down and they beat those pots. And what happened? They turned on one another and won a great victory. The Lord said, I'm only going to use just a few carloads of guys. So all I need is a few carloads of guys. Because if a whole bunch of you showed up, you guys would think you would do it. Mike, go to Joshua. The next one. Go to Joshua. I'm going this weekend. And some of you are too. And some of you right now are making the decision, I'm going, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Do you think it might be a good idea for each of us to bring a really, really good strong flashlight so we can actually shine some light and focus it on spots?
That would be good, man. That's the whole purpose, right? Now, after the death of Moses, Joshua 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua and said, hey, Moses is dead. Folks, Moses has done all he can do. He's dead, dude. George Washington's dead. General Patton's dead. They're dead. He said, hey, now you, Randy, you, therefore, Randy, you get up and go over the Jordan, you and all the people. You go unto the land, which I did give unto them. Did he give us America or not? Did the Lord give us America or not?
Yes, he did.
He did. He says, you guys get onto that land, which I gave you, even to the children of Israel, the church. He gave America to the church. And every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I've already given it to you, he said. From the wilderness of Pennsylvania and Oklahoma, clear out over to the Potomac River. And all throughout all those lands, and unto the great sea toward the going down the sun. Dude, that's all yours. It all belongs to you. He says, there shall not be any man be able to stand before you thee all the days of your life. Why? Because I was with Moses. I'll be there with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Now, I want to make a little point here right now. I was down there. My little grandson was down there the other day. He comes down every day. So he and I were having a little conversation about something the other day that he wasn't real confident of. Something I wanted him to do that he wasn't real confident of. And it hit me that I'm little David, my grandson. I'm him. And Almighty God is me, speaking to my little son, grandson. And I said to him, David, listen, I promise you, I'll be with you. I won't let you get hurt. I love you more than anything in the whole world, buddy. I'm going to take care of you. Now, folks, why don't we have that relationship with the Lord? Why don't we think about that with the Lord? When we get afraid and we don't want to go, do you understand that you are testing the character of Almighty God? That he's not who he says he is? He said right here, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Yet we think he does and will. We don't trust him. We don't trust his word. We don't trust his leading. You don't have to say amen because I'm all over it today. You don't have to. And I'm not just talking about this trip that we're talking about. I'm talking about in your own life. We are all controlled by fear. Even though he says, Moses is dead. It's my turn now. It's your turn now. I'm with you. Let's go. Come on. That principle's still alive. Okay, be strong. Stop being afraid. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give. We are fighting to take back what was given to our fathers. Only be strong. It ain't going to be easy, he says. And very courageous. That you may observe to do. Got that, Larry? You can't just observe. You have to observe to do. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or the left, that thou may prosper wherever you go. He says, you go where I'm telling you to go, and you don't waver and you don't turn. Go, man. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do. Observe to do. Not just observe to do. According to all that is written then. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And now that thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded you, Christian, be strong and of good courage and be not afraid and quit whining and moaning and complaining, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. Now,
hey, this is either real or it's not. It's either real or it's not. I believe it to be real.
It's totally real, Coach.
It's totally real. Now, I'm going to show you something here. How many, raise your hand if you've ever heard of Knox Henry. No hands going up? Knox Henry? Have you ever heard of, certainly you've heard of Tom Gillespie, haven't you? Heard of him?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Mick Powers? Anybody out there heard of Mick Powers? No, probably not. Most of it, even if you raised your hand, probably know a different Tom Gillespie, probably a different Mick Powers. I'm going to show you a video here. It's funny how the Lord works, isn't it? Clay sent me this, but Clay, I was already working on this as well today when you sent me this video. Do you guys ever hear the Battle of Athens? Everybody ever hear about that? On August 2nd, 1946. August 2nd, 1946. Group of men returned back from the war. Think of the time and the place. 1946. And they come back from 1946 back into their own homes. And they find out that now their own homes, their own hometown, Athens, Georgia, has been seized by the deep state. The beginning of the deep state in their own hometown.
Yeah,
they get back and they say, "What's going on?" They're looking at each other, Tom. What's going on here, man? How did Washington D.C. get so in charge of me here in Hebron? How did Michael DeWine get so much power over me here in Hebron? They ask themselves. So they said, boys, we got to do something here because it's election day. And what do they see is going on election day? Why, they see this cheating going on in election day. Why? Because some old boy by the name of Knox Henry decided he was going to run for sheriff against the incumbent, who was the beginning of the deep state. So Knox Henry gets in the race. And then they get a bunch of poll watchers out there. And then when too many people started to show up to vote for Knox Henry, what did the deep state do? Why, they closed down the voting booths. They said, well, that's it. Election's over. They grabbed all the ballots. They went, just like they're doing right now, just exactly like they're trying to do to us right now. Folks, this is real history. And we are, this story, it's about five, it's Mike played the, what did I say, time and a half? That'll be good enough. This is a real, true historical story about what the men in Athens, Georgia did. What they did. These guys who had just fought for their country come back and realize their country's killing babies. Their country's marrying men and men. Their government is evil. So Knox Henry says, I'll run. Minute and a half. Play time and a half, Mike. Real story. The Battle of Athens. As it says, back when men had testosterone. But also, hey, I don't know if you saw this. You won't see this. There's only been 25 people watch this video. This is a brand new video. Go ahead and play it there.
At the close of World War II, most American veterans returned from the battlefield looking forward to settling down to a peaceful life. But for the returning warriors of Athens, Tennessee...
Because she's just telling you what I just told you. Right there. That's good. There's a good place.
Athens, Tennessee in the mid-40s was the county seat of McMinn County. It had always been a hotbed of political dissent and political eruption. By 1940, the problem was that there was a political machine and they were pretty much dominating the lives of the people. People that would come through town on buses or trains could be regularly pulled off and beaten up, accused of some crime and thrown into jail. The more prisoners that went into jail, the more money that went into the sheriff's budget. There would have been all kinds of moonshine steals and illegal liquor, and so the sheriff would have gained money from them. There were all kinds of activities in which these male deputies almost had free reign of the female population. There was a large part of the male population that was away at war. It became a common theme by war's end, wait till the boys get back. It was like there was a kind of a crescendo of emotion that was building as these men began to drift back in after the war. There may have been a time in which they thought this was business as usual, but you had these men coming back saying, "We fought for liberty in Europe and the Pacific." The men were encouraged to form a political party. The party was called the GI Nonpartisan Party. Election day was August the 2nd, 1946. The election was for all of the county offices, primarily and of most importance, the office of sheriff. The veterans had put a person forward on their nonpartisan ticket by the name of Knox Henry. And Knox Henry was kind of a grand figure. He was almost a John Wayne type person. And so he was the kind of person who would have garnered a lot of votes. Now, that being said, the political establishment kept saying to themselves that all they had to do was to control the ballot boxes. And so you had poll watchers, and these poll watchers would have been there from the establishment. Those were usually deputies, and they were usually armed. There would have been other poll watchers that would have come from the GI party, and those would have been veterans that were in there watching the votes. The first most dramatic event occurred on one of the main streets of Athens. Two of the GI watchers, a man named Shai Scott and a man named David Vestal, were in there with these deputies. There was a man in the community named Tom Gillespie. Tom Gillespie was an older African-American man. He was much beloved. He was highly respected. Immediately, these tough, ugly deputies feel like that's someone that they can easily not let vote. And so they push him back. And Tom Gillespie, very heroically, determines that he is going to vote. Finally, he's warned that if he doesn't leave, he's going to be shot. And at that moment, he says, "I've come to vote. It's my right." And one of the deputies produces a gun and shoots Tom Gillespie on the spot. The deputies immediately shut down the precinct, and they are holding the two poll watchers captive inside the precinct. All of a sudden, you can hear sirens coming, and the sheriff and a whole group of heavily armed deputies come in, push the crowds back, and begin to clear out the ballot boxes and move them to the jail. Word is then spread throughout the county that the voting precincts are to be shut down, and ballot boxes are beginning to be brought to the jail. And so suddenly, it's put up or shut up time. The sheriff and the deputies have barricaded themselves heavily armed in the county jail. It's like a fortress almost. A man named Mink Powers stepped in and took a leadership role, and he made it possible for some keys to the armory to show up. And so veterans began to go to the armory and began to bring weapons down to town. If you saw the kind of layout of the town, there is a small ridge that looks down over the area where the jail was. So of course these soldiers knew that that gave them tactical advantage that was just unbelievable. Everything was totally quiet. Everything had suddenly gotten dark. And gunfire erupts from the jail. That firing goes on for probably about 3 hours. I mean, it was like the Alamo almost in our TV images. A veteran that had been involved with munitions in the war taped together several sticks of dynamite. The dynamite blew off the hole front of the jail. And all of a sudden, the people in the jail believe this thing's been raised to a new level. So you literally have a white flag that is rigged and stuck out of the jail windows, and the people in the jail surrender. By the time that the next morning occurs, the veterans, the people from the business community in town, they were able to count the votes. The election was not even close. The veterans' GI nonpartisan party won by a majority. The legacy of these events are manifold. By the time that you get to the political events of 1948, there are numerous events like what happened at Athens that are repeated across the country. The GI Nonpartisan Party came very close to being the first vital third-party movement in America to really become successful.
So who's today's Knox Henry? Who's today's Tom Gillespie? Mick Powers? Just normal guys who stood up to be counted and changed the course of a community, of a country. Now, I hear the FBI listening and right wing watch listening. We're not for violence. I'm not for violence. We're not for taking guns and going back and taking our country. We're not for that. But we're for defending our rights. And those are not the same thing. And isn't it amazing that in America today, those common people, the mom and pop Joe Sixpacks, who simply want to live their lives become criminals when they simply speak out against tyrannical government. There's something seriously wrong, friends. Something seriously wrong. Whether Donald Trump wins or not, it's a four-year reprieve. What are we going to do in the next 4 years, no matter who wins or loses? Was that you, Joseph? I think it was. Come on in. Whoever it was. Yeah.
I joined law enforcement in 1989, and I was in Cobb County. I was a Cobb County deputy. And for South Georgia is where they hold, where all the people in Georgia law enforcement goes for the training academy. This event was spoken down there in our training about being non-political or being political in elections, and how law enforcement has a certain stance where to go and not to do.
Well, Dave.
Chad.
I was the one to say, you know, you probably heard me talk about that Deagle report so many times.
Right.
And I want to talk about positive change or some change that they've pulled down the predictions for 2025 in America. They've pulled those down. And I believe they've, like you said, they've overplayed their hand and they're not going to get what they want. It's we have to come together. We have to come together. And these petty differences that we have, why? I mean, you know, it just boggles me. You know, just boggles
me. Let me show you
what's at stake.
Let me make two connections here real quickly for you. Hey, Mike, pull up civil servants. This is huge. Of course, you haven't heard anything about it. Let me explain it as Mike pulls this up. I don't know if you guys are aware that, I don't know, a couple, three, 4 months ago, President Trump sent out an executive order about the military hitting the streets in, I think it was Portland, whatever. And the chief of the chief of whatever, refused to follow the order. Are you guys aware of that? The president ordered it, and the head of chiefs of, what do they call those guys, all the generals. Anyway, refused to order. We find out now that President Trump has been issuing a lot of these type of orders that the people are not following. The deep state's not following. So just a couple days ago, President Trump opens the valve to drain the swamp with a new executive order. And the new executive order is, these guys were civil servants. The people in the deep state are civil servants who cannot be fired. That's why they don't pay attention to him. What are you going to do? You can't fire me. Can't fire him. I'm a civil servant. Trump made an executive order to make those who fail to follow orders no longer protected by civil service. Remove civil service protections from certain positions within the federal government. Agencies. There's been much whining and gnashing of teeth, but voters should be thrilled, making policymakers in the deep state at-will employees. You understand what it is? Now they can be fired. If they're easier to miss if they attempt to obstruct the duly elected president's agenda. Now Trump has made an executive order that they can be fired.
Is that right to work? If you don't follow the orders, you're fired.
That's right. Yeah. The way it's supposed to be, right? The way it's supposed to be. I mean, we can't figure out why his agenda, why just good mom and pop values can't go forward. Well, here's why. They've infiltrated. Those communist snakes have infiltrated the government into positions where they can't be fired. They're going to outlast this president and outlast the next president and get their own president in there. They have more job security than the president.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You look at the amount of generals Hussein got rid of before he left. I mean, it was constantly getting rid of the true generals that were real patriots. He made sure he deleted all them out of the way this crap could be ushered in. That's a sick deal.
That's what he's fighting.
That was the whole deal of what what Donald Trump was saying. He goes, I don't understand why Trump or why Obama didn't appoint all these federal judges, because Obama was busy planting in generals is what he was doing.
He not only did the generals, he did the DOJ that way as well.
Mike, click on Rented Evangelifish real quick. Rented Evangelifish. I'm running out of time here. Hey, folks, tomorrow we're going. Come on, get in your car and drive out there. Spend the day. Just come out Saturday and join us. Say where? I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you tomorrow. Just get in your car. Bring your family. Take a drive. Just spend a day with us. George Soros and his Rented Evangelicals have been outed by Christian leaders. What? Oh, yeah. So scroll on down, Mike. George Soros has been sending a lot of money to the American Association of Evangelicals. No, that's not the that's not who did it. Yes, it is. Anyway, folks, George Soros has been buying off these, what do they call them? Social justice preachers. Soros has. And why has he been doing it? Because he wants to divide and conquer the Christian vote. Here's what AA put out in a press release. Democratic ministers, by the way, American Association of Evangelicals are good guys. Democratic ministers like Jim Wallace and allies are now touring many states on vote common good buses to split the evangelical vote before the midterm elections. The AAE video features a newly released voice recording of Jim Wallace of Sojourners as he publicly denied that he's a recipient of Soros' funding, but he's not. He is. He's denied it, but he has. Folks, Christian leaders have been bought by the left. Infiltration. Remember we talk about that? George Soros and his open society has been buying off lefty evangelifish. I don't have time to read down through this whole thing, but it's all in here. George Soros' funding of Sojourners is only the tip of the iceberg, they wrote. George Soros' funding of Jim Wallace, the Sojourners, the funding from Soros Foundation and Open Society was revealed by Marvin Alaska at World Magazine. What's going on? And then there was this from The Blaze, Glenn Beck. George Soros sent 150, nope, let me get that comma in the right place. 1, 2, 3. 150,000 of Jim Wallace's left-wing group, Sojourners. Thus, the significance go unrecognized. The Sojourners is a far-left group that masquerades as a Christian outlet bent on doing God's work, but that far more often seems to be doing nothing but what the Democrats will. They say we are evangelicals, Catholics, Pentecostals, and Protestants, progressives and conservatives, blacks, whites, Latinos, and Asians, women and men, young and old, diverse and tolerance, right? We seek to discover the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. There we are. Enemies within. Your enemies shall be those of your own household. Let me wrap this up here. I've got 2 minutes to wrap this up. Gideon's army is we're going to go out and break some pots. We're going to make some noise and shine some light. And it's going to be on the East Coast. And I'll let you know exactly where it's going to be. And we would love for you to come and be part of it. What does that entail, you say? Come and stand and hold a sign? Can you do that? Could you drive your car, put 3 or 4 people in your car and drive 2.5 hours and come and stand with us? Because it doesn't take a whole lot of us. In fact, we saw this feature of Gideon's army. It didn't take a whole lot of us. We just need somebody who will go lay their hands on the threshold and open that door, open that threshold and let God move. We just need somebody to show up and give God a reason to show off. We have to go and give God an opportunity to move. Sitting in our churches and praying about it and praying against Halloween just ain't quite going to get it done. Somebody help me wrap it up. I feel somebody out there. I don't know who it is.
Coach, I want to repeat what Serge had told me. He said, Randy, I want my grandkids, I want my family to know I stood for Jesus Christ and my country when it counted. If I leave here and they know that, that's huge.
Amen. Amen, Randy. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and sign up. Say, well, I'll be there, Coach. I'll bring a carload. If you have to rent a car, we'll pay it. We'll pay your expenses. If money's the issue, don't let money be the issue. Please. Look, we don't need 1 million. We don't need a million. But we're going to go and we're going to give the Lord an opportunity to bless something. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. 2:15 today, Michael Voris. We're building an army. The Lord's building an army. We'll see you then. God bless you.